Welcome back to Praying with Scripture Online. Lord God, open my lips and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Cry out with joy to the Lord all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing for joy. Know that he, the Lord, is God. We made him. We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his flock. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Go within his gates, giving thanks. Enter his courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Indeed, how good is the Lord, eternal his merciful love. He is faithful from age to age. Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts. Let us pray for the Holy Father's monthly intentions for this month of April. Let us pray that the use of the new technologies will not replace human relationships, will respect the dignity of the person, and will help us face the crises of our times. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Thank you for hearing our prayers for the world where we could just transform everything. I mean, the next generation in 10, 20 years of this technology is just going to blow your minds. I have enough familiarity to know that it is mind-blowing. So this is an important intention. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Jesus, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. In this wonderful last week of Lent, we begin praying, all nations will come and worship before you, O Lord. Actually, that's the third one. Lord, lay your healing hand upon me, for I have sinned. Psalm 41, prayer of a sick person. One of you will betray me, yes, one who eats with me. So in the office, we're always able. To pray that scripture tradition verse as an antiphon if we want to. Just a good thing to know. Happy the man who considers the poor and the weak. The Lord will save him in the day of evil, will guard him, give him life, make him happy in the land, and will not give him up to the will of his foes. The Lord will help him on his sick bed, on his bed of pain, will bring him back from sickness to health. As for me, I said, Lord, have mercy on me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My foes are speaking evil against me. How long before he dies and his name be forgotten? They come to visit me and speak empty words. Their hearts full of malice, they spread it abroad. My enemies whisper together against me. They all weigh up the evil which is on me. Some deadly thing has fastened upon him. He will not rise again from where he lies. Thus even my friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has turned against me. But you, O Lord, have mercy on me. Let me rise once more, and I will repay them. By this I shall know that you are my friend, if my foes do not shout in triumph over me. If you uphold me, I shall be unharmed, and set in your presence forevermore. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from age to age. Amen, amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, healer of soul and body, you truly have sent us out to heal the sick. Teach your church to live in solidarity with the sick, to pray for miracles of healing for them with faith, and to obtain mercy for our sins. Teach us to recognize your extreme love for us and how this causes us to use our freedom to be like you in a radical way, and yet we all fall short of that radical likeness to you. We all fall short of that holiness, and we don't even realize sometimes how much we wound your fatherly heart. But you give us this time of atonement. Teach us to pray, to fast, and still to come to the aid of the needy in a spirit of brotherly love, and to be reconciled with those who have offended us as much as we can, even if it's just by forgiving them or humbling ourselves in some way. Let us again be received warmly, embraced, and strengthened by you. And we're going to pray in a special way for Bill. Bill is suffering a lot. Pray with Mary. Mary, please take care of him. The Lord will help him on his bed of pain. Help us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Lord, lay your healing hand upon me, for I have sinned. The mighty Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Psalm 46. God, our refuge and strength. He shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is for us a refuge and strength, a helper close at hand in time of distress. So we shall not fear, though the earth should rock, though the mountains fall into the depths of the sea, even though its waters rage and foam, even though the mountains be shaken by its waves. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. The waters of a river give joy to God's city, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within. It cannot be shaken. God will help it at the dawning of the day. Nations are in turmoil. Kingdoms are shaken. He lifts his voice. The earth shrinks away. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, consider the works of the Lord, the redoubtable deeds he has done on the earth. He puts an end to wars all over the earth. The bow he breaks, the spear he snaps. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God, supreme among the nations, supreme on the earth. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All-powerful Father, the refuge and strength of your people, you protect in adversity and defend in prosperity those who put their trust in you. May they persevere in seeking your will and find their way to you through obedience. In honor of Mary's gifts from God the Son, pour out your love and blessings on us and all the souls that we need to pray for. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The mighty Lord is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. All nations will come and worship before you, O Lord. Mighty and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who would dare refuse you honor or the glory due your name, O Lord? Since you alone are holy, all nations shall come and worship in your presence. Your mighty deeds are clearly seen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All nations will come and worship before you, O Lord. Blessed be God forever. In honor of Mary's gifts from the Holy Spirit, we pray with her for the conversion of our world and for our own conversion. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And we shall have some great readings. Turn back to the Lord your God. He is kind and merciful. First reading from the letter to the Hebrews. 7:11-28. The eternal priesthood of Christ. If perfection had been achieved through the Levitical priesthood, on the basis of which the people received the law, what need would there have been to appoint a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, instead of choosing a priest according to the order of Aaron? When there is a change of priesthood, there is necessarily a change of law. Now he of whom these things are said was of a different tribe, none of whose members ever officiated at the altar. It is clear that our Lord rose from the tribe of Judah, regarding which Moses said nothing about priests. The matter is clearer still if another priest is appointed according to the likeness of Melchizedek, one who has become a priest not in virtue of a law expressed in a commandment concerning physical descent, but in virtue of the power of a life which cannot be destroyed. Scripture testifies, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." The former commandment has been annulled because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law brought nothing to perfection. But a better hope has supervened, and through it we draw near to God. This has been confirmed by an oath. The priests of the old covenant became priests without an oath, unlike Jesus, to whom God said, "The Lord has sworn, and he will not repent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Thus has Jesus become the guarantee of a better covenant. Under the old covenant, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from remaining in office. But Jesus, because he remains forever, has a priesthood which does not pass away. Therefore, he is always able to save those who approach God through him, since he lives forever to make intercession for them. It was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he has no need to offer sacrifice day after day, first for his own sins and then for those of the people. He did that once for all when he offered himself. For the law sets up as high priests men who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a priest as priest, the Son, made perfect forever. Christ did not take upon himself the honor of becoming high priest. He received it from the one who said to him, "You are a priest forever, a priest like Melchizedek of old." No oath was taken when others were made priests, but the priesthood of Jesus was confirmed by the oath of God, who said to him, "You are a priest forever, a priest like Melchizedek of old." Second reading. From a treatises on faith addressed to Peter by St. Fulgentius of Rupsi, Bishop, Christ offered himself for us. The sacrifices of animal victims, which our forefathers were commanded to offer to God by the Holy Trinity itself, the one God of the Old and New Testaments, foreshadowed the most acceptable gift of all. This was the offering which in his compassion the only Son of God would make of himself in his human nature for our sake. The Apostle teaches that Christ offered himself for us to God as a fragrant sacrifice and offering. He is the true God and true High Priest who for our sake entered once for all into the Holy of Holies, taking with him not the blood of bulls and goats, but his own blood. This was foreshadowed by the High Priest of old when each year he took blood and entered the Holy of Holies. Christ is therefore the one who in himself alone embodied all that he knew to be necessary to achieve our redemption. He is at once priest and sacrifice, God and temple. He is the priest through whom we have been reconciled, the sacrifice by which we have been reconciled, the temple in which we have been reconciled, the God with whom we have been reconciled. He alone is priest, sacrifice, and temple, because he is all these things as God in the form of a servant. But he is not alone as God, for he is this with the Father and the Holy Spirit in the form of God. Hold fast to this and never doubt it. The only begotten Son, God the Word, becoming man, offered himself for us to God as a fragrant sacrifice and offering. In the time of the Old Testament, patriarchs, prophets, and priests sacrificed animals in his honor, and in honor of the Father and the Holy Spirit as well. Now in the time of the New Testament, the Holy Catholic Church throughout the world never ceases to offer the sacrifice of bread and wine in faith and love to him and to the Father and the Holy Spirit, with whom he shares one Godhead. Those animal sacrifices foreshadowed the flesh of Christ, which he would offer for our sins. Though himself without sin, the blood which he would pour out for the forgiveness of our sins. In this sacrifice there is thanksgiving for and commemoration of the flesh of Christ that was offered for us, and the blood that the same God poured out for us. On this, St. Paul says in the Acts of the Apostles, keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock in which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as bishops to rule the church of God, which he won for himself by his blood. Those sacrifices of old pointed in sign to what was to be given to us. In this sacrifice we see plainly what has already been given to us. Those sacrifices foretold the death of the Son of God for sinners. In this sacrifice he is proclaimed as already slain for sinners. As the Apostle testifies, Christ died for the wicked at a time when we were still powerless, and when we were enemies, we were reconciled with God through the death of his Son. Even if you have no faith in my words, you should at least believe the evidence of the works I do in God's name. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones, and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Even if you have no faith in my words, you should at least believe the evidence of the works I do in God's name. The Lord Jesus sanctified his people with his blood. Let us cry out to him, Lord, have mercy on your people. Loving Redeemer, through your passion, teach us self-denial. Strengthen us against evil and adversity, and increase our hope, and so make us ready to celebrate your resurrection. Grant that Christians, as your prophets, may make you known in every place, and bear witness to you with living faith and hope and love. Give your strength to all in distress, and help us to raise them up through our loving concern. Teach the faithful to see in your passion in their sufferings, and to show to others your power to save. Author of life, remember those who have passed from this world. Grant them the glory of your risen life. We pray for Bill in a special way. I know it seems impossible, but we pray for God's grace for his situation. We pray for Julia. We're going to continue to pray for everyone attached to this ministry or this ask to our prayers. And our special friends, Father Rob, Father Jim, who've done so much for ourselves and this apostolate as well. Gathering all of our prayers and praises into one, pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and from the evil one. Lord, have mercy on your people. Lord, grant us your forgiveness and set us free from our enslavement to sin. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. So yesterday we were looking at the second half of Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, one of the biggest and most rich spiritual petitions. You know, I think I would have been peeved. In my pretentiousness and my pride, I can imagine myself as a 10-year-old child or something, looking at this pray and work, pray as if everything depended on God. We should thank God all the time for our meals and stuff. I don't think I liked that very much at that age. And it's an interesting thing to reflect upon. You know, how do we view this type of an approach? What would make us have that type of reaction? It's always good to check on those types of things. So we talked about the bread. It's the Word of God. It's also the preeminently Christ, the Word of God, in the body of Christ, in the Eucharist. This day is an expression of trust taught us by the Lord, which we would never presume to invent, since it refers first of all to His Word and to the body of His Son. This, not only that of our mortal time, but also the today of God. If you receive the bread each day, today, each day is today for you. If Christ is yours today, He rises for you every day. How can this be? You are my Son, today I have begotten you. Therefore today is when Christ rises. And it talked about our solidarity with those who are hungry and how God would provide for us. I think it's interesting. It's always very interesting to see how people have that reaction to those statements about how God will provide and what type of values go into that. But here we have, Thy kingdom come. No, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our Father desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He is forbearing toward you, not wishing that any should perish. His commandment is that you love one another, even as I have loved you, so that you also love one another. This commandment summarizes all the others and expresses His entire will. He has made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, that He set forth in Christ, to gather up all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of Him who accomplishes all things according to His counsel and will. We ask insistently for this loving plan to be fully realized on earth as it already is in heaven. In Christ and through His human will, the will of the Father has already been perfectly fulfilled once for all. Jesus said on entering the world, Lo, I have come to do your will, O God. Only Jesus can say, I always do what is pleasing to Him. In the prayer of His agony, He consents totally to this will. Not my will, but yours be done. For this reason, Jesus gave Himself for our sins, to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Though He was a Son, Jesus learned obedience through what He suffered. How much more reason have we sinful creatures to learn obedience? We who in Him have become children of adoption. We ask our Father to unite our will with His Son's in order to fulfill His will, His plan of salvation for the life of the world. We are radically incapable of this, but united with Jesus and with the power of His Holy Spirit, we can surrender our will to Him and decide to choose what His Son has always chosen, to do what is pleasing to our Father, to the Father. And St. John Chrysostom says, in committing ourselves to Christ, we can become one spirit with Him and thereby accomplish His will in such wise that it will be perfect on earth as it is in heaven. Consider how Jesus Christ teaches us to be humble by making us see that our virtue does not depend on our work alone, but on grace from on high. He commands each of the faithful to pray, who prays to do so universally for the whole world. For he did not say, "Thy will be done in me or in us," but on earth, the whole earth, so that error may be banished from it, truth take root in it, all vice be destroyed on it, virtue flourish on it, and the earth no longer differ from heaven. Thank you, Lord, for these amazing words of the Church and reflections that open up the real life and deeper meaning of this prayer that Jesus taught us to pray in the Word of God, to enter into his own prayer. Now I offer my plenary indulgence or equivalent graces for this time and the time before that, partial indulgences for the soul in purgatory. Grant this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Grant that God's souls also pray for us too.